City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, January 9th, and we're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. It's a Bismarck City Current. So Jason Tomanek is here as always. Hi, Jason. You're the assistant city administrator for the city, but we have a special guest with us today, Carl Hockenstead.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah. Last night was your final city commission meeting you attended.
Exactly, yes, after many.
What did you say, 1,600
meetings? I kind of totaled up all the after-hours meetings, 1,600 over 41 years.
Wow.
That surprised even me.
So did you have a special place in the Tom Baker room? Did you have a special chair? Does it have your name on it now? Should we?
No, there's no name yet.
No,
we
can
put
yet.
A little plaque.
Ceremonial plaque. We've ordered one.
Maybe they could.
In honor of.
You can't sit here. This is Carl's chair. That's what it says.
Maybe they could retire the chair like a jersey and say that no one else will sit here.
I love that idea. I think that's great. Well, thanks for being with us. And
thank you.
This is, again, kind of your final hurrah this week.
There you go.
With the city of Bismarck after 41 years.
Yes.
And we're going to talk a lot about some of the changes and challenges and successes over those past 41 years at the end of our show.
All right.
We do want to talk a little bit about what happened at the city commission meeting last night, which, of course, you had a few agenda items on there as well. Yeah, community planning. So a couple of things that happened last night in your consent agenda, just one or two things we want to talk about. There was an introduction and a call for a public hearing on a change to the urban boundary area map. And Carl, that was your department that brought that forward. And this is just a bit of housekeeping that's going on with these boundaries of the city limits.
It is. The urban service area boundary was established many years ago, but it was recently amended to set aside areas where the city would expect to provide services. And there are areas close into the city that we would expect in the pretty short term to provide those services. The other areas are sometime in the future. But as the city grows and we actually get plat applications, then this map has to be amended. So there was just a couple minor areas that are actually under review at this time. So we will be bringing these amendments in periodically.
I think we have a map that we could pop up real quick, and apologies to our radio listeners, but kind of helps demonstrate what we're talking about. This boundary map also follows your master plan that's in place as well. There's a number of documents that
that
feed each other, and this is just one of them.
It's part of the growth management plan that we have. Yes.
Yeah, so the area we're looking at is Northwest Bismarck. For anybody that's familiar with the Promontory Point or Eagle Crest subdivisions, these would be extensions of those neighborhoods. A lot of times when we look at this urban service area boundary, we're also very mindful of topography, because we want to be able to work with the topography, particularly for water and sewer installations. Mm. So the way this map was derived, you know, years ago, was looking first at what can we get to successfully with services, and then at what point in our growth phasing are we moving forward. So for the map, anything in the green, for anybody that's able to see the map, the green areas are directly contiguous to our current city limits. The pink areas would be the second future phase, and then the yellow areas are those existing rural subdivisions that have been in place for, in some cases, several decades. So this helps guide city utilities, infrastructure, resources, planning and growth. I mean, it's a very important document. So
sure.
I think it's fair to say that this is a living document. It's very fluid, and as Carl said, it responds to some of the growth requests that we get as our community grows.
So we'll see it come back, I'm sure, over the next
year. More than likely, this will continue to evolve as we continue to grow.
But the action last night, again, from the City Commission was they did approve this introduction and called for a public hearing. So your next City Commission meeting, which will be January 22nd?
You got it. That's right.
Okay. Is an opportunity for anyone to come and comment.
Absolutely. And if they have questions, I would refer them to the Community Development Department. Our folks in engineering are working hand-in-hand with this as well as Public Works. So this impacts a number of departments, but if they've got questions, I would refer them over to Carl's office.
Yes, and Carl will be there till Friday.
It'll be somebody
else. But you have a big staff over there, a good, competent staff. I'm sure anybody can answer those questions.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And again, when we are recording this on January 9th, Wednesday the 9th. So Carl's got a couple of days left with the city of Bismarck. On your regular agenda last night, Mayor Bakken gave a report on all the departments that are within his portfolio.
That's right.
So that was a fairly extensive report. Mm-hmm. Talked a lot about administration, city attorney's office,
human
HR.
Resources. Yeah. Yep. Those are the areas that he and typically past mayors have focused on. So it was, this was his first report from a portfolio presentation. So much like the other commissioners that have gone prior, just a broad overview of all the aspects that he's part of and working towards. And for anybody that hasn't seen this yet, these are regular things that we've added to the agenda. This was at the recommendation of Commissioner Zenker. So in 2 weeks, when we meet again, Commissioner Markwart will get his first shot at portfolio report. So
also on the regular agenda last night was the creation, and again, this is, comes to your department, and you've been working on this for a while, and this is the creation of a Historic Preservation Commission for the city of Bismarck. Mm-hmm. You told me earlier that we are the only city, a major city within North Dakota, that is yet to establish this type of a function within the city.
That's right. And this is something we've been thinking about for many, many years, and we definitely have a lot of interest in the community to start this. It's called the Certified Local Government, or CLG, program, which is a state and federal recognized historic preservation program. Mm-hmm. And one of the steps is to, of course, pass the ordinance first, and then to have members appointed to the commission. And then we'll be in business, and hopefully that will be a way of people to work through nominations for historic properties and neighborhoods, and they will serve as an advisory board to the city commission. Okay. So the city commission will always make the final decision, but this will be a very important advisory board.
So last night the commission approved the ordinance.
Yes.
And you do have a number of applicants already that you're vetting through this process.
Correct.
As I understand, that the criteria for serving on this board is a high standard. Mm-hmm. You have to; it has to go through state and federal guidelines before someone can get approved for the committee.
Yep. Yep. And they would like to see members actually are from the fields that are related to historic preservation.
Specific skill sets.
Makes sense, yeah.
Skill sets are architecture, archaeology, historic preservation, probably planning, but they have a definite set of criteria that they would like us to apply.
So congratulations on getting this off your plate and operating before you go out the door. This is a big thing.
One of my big satisfactions.
Yeah. Yes. At 2015 or even earlier, probably, this discussion started. So
it actually started when I was in planning back in, I want to say, 2008 or 9.
Okay.
And the timing, as we all know, we went through a tremendous growth period, and it just didn't have the time to dedicate necessary to this. I think the timing is right. Carl's staff is primed and ready to go. Will Hutchings has done a really nice job crafting the ordinance and helping this get legs. So we certainly appreciate all the work that's gone into this. But I think going forward, this is going to really help the staff and the community better understand what historic preservation is all about. And to be able to provide informative recommendations to the city commission, that's really the ultimate goal here.
Doesn't it also open the door to potential funding for projects?
It does. Once you have the commission authorized or in operation, then the city is eligible for some grant monies. Yes.
Yeah. Another bonus.
Yes.
So once the committee is identified and appointed, you anticipate probably in the spring they'll start meeting?
That's the estimate, yes. Late spring.
Bylaws and their goals and objectives.
Regular meeting schedules, absolutely. Okay. Goals and objectives, definitely.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking
about it. We can report back. Yeah, I think this is a nice forward step for the city. I think this brings another layer of, I don't want to say legitimacy, but another layer of service that the city can help provide.
Mm-hmm. It's important. So, yeah, absolutely.
And it was one of Jason's projects when he was in the department.
Yeah,
so
I started and wasn't able to finish it. So thanks to Will for picking it up.
I've found over the years that we have a lot of ideas that we kick around and we send up flags every once in a while to see, well, can this succeed? Oftentimes we have to wait years or decades before the timing is right. I always say when the stars align, then you go for these approval of these projects, and this is one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it should, we should mention too, Commissioner Nancy Guy has been tremendously supportive in this, and I believe she will be part of the group going forward that
shepherding along.
Helps establish. Mm-hmm. And it's always beneficial for staff to have that leadership from an elected official.
Absolutely.
It gives us the reinforcement that we need to move forward with confidence, knowing that the end result will be supported.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned Will Hutchins is going to be the lead staff person in this as well.
That's right. And Commissioner Guy will actually be a member of the Historic Preservation Commission, which will be great.
All right. We'll bring it back. We'll talk about it again, I'm sure.
Certainly.
Also last night, Keith Hunke presented the first of probably many legislative reports now that the session has started at the state legislature. Number of bills are being proposed, and the city's monitoring a lot of those bills.
Yep. And this will become a routine part of our regular agenda from now through the end of the session. And really what this does for Keith is it gives him an opportunity to share with the commissioners what's happening at the legislature, what bills are being proposed, what language is out there. But more importantly, it gives Keith the direction that he needs to represent the city from the commissioners. So they typically take action on all the bills that Keith notices, monitors, tracks, all of those things. And then as a vote, it gives him the direction to understand the position for the city. So if it comes time for testimony or participation in any of these discussions, Keith knows the direction that the city is going.
Well, I would think it increases your response time. You're able to respond because these hearings and
they happen
meetings.
Very quickly. And as we get further into the session, these things can happen at a moment's notice. So it's very important for Keith to be routinely, frequently monitoring these things. The state has a nice website where you can track your bills and things like that. So it's going to be a fast and furious 80 days. There's a lot of things that are coming through already, which we anticipated. Some are going to be very beneficial for Bismarck. Others, we definitely want to keep an eye on them.
Yeah. And just to mention, just for our listeners and viewers, that we are televising the legislative session once again. We do just the floor sessions. Unfortunately, there's no access into the committee rooms for video at this point in time. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have those hearings and those meetings. I think that's ultimately where the sausage is made, so to speak. But we are carrying the floor sessions, as they're called, in the afternoons.
Great.
Typically around 1 o'clock.
Good.
Can go on Government Access. We're streaming it or the Government Access channel. So.
Another valuable resource.
Yeah, and you know, as things heat up, as the more and more bills come back to the floor, our length of coverage will increase as well. Right now, it's a little skimpy as these things are just starting out. So
it won't take long.
Yeah,
I may have robust to watch coverage. Some of that.
There you go. Also on your agenda last night, the commission approved a new contract for food and beverage concessions out at the airport.
That's right.
Greg Haug brought that forward. There was a process of applications, RFPs went out for a new concessionaire, and you had a number of applicants.
There were six applicants, four local businesses and two what I would consider national companies that have stores in either other airports or railway stations throughout the nation. The selection committee chose unanimously to go with one of the national companies, and I think part of that is due to their depth and experience, but also more so the offerings that will be changing as it transitions from the current operator to the new group. You'll see more of a bar atmosphere, a bar setting area for, excuse me, these are for travelers that have gone through security past the TSA area, but you'll also see the national group partnering with some of the local businesses that we've come to know, Laughing Sun Brewing Company and Terra Nomad have agreed to be partners in this venture, so we'll see some food and beverage options from those local businesses as well. One other thing that was noted by Greg last night, the company Faber is the name of the group. They're planning on a fairly significant investment into the space to remodel, rebrand, refresh, and this contract is for a 5-year period. And there is a potential for a 5-year extension. And if that extension is granted, the group said that they would also come back and do a refresh to give it a whole new look again in 5 more years if they're successful. So for those that are traveling through our airport, you'll start to notice some changes probably early summer, early to midsummer. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for anybody that's coming through the Bismarck Airport to pick up some local fare, but also enjoy the experience that you're used to in other airports as well.
Mm-hmm. We have some photos, renderings on the screen right now to show what the potential space could look like. Mm-hmm. It's a refresh of the interior. It's the same footprint.
Same footprint, same area. We don't have any additional space for them at the airport, but this will be the offering, I believe. The name of the store will be The Junction at Bismarck. So branded with some local flair. You see on the screen, we've got some pictures of North Dakota art, North Dakota gifts, and things that people are looking for at the airport. Nice. So stay tuned for that one.
When do you anticipate some of this to start?
I believe May, June of 2019.
Construction will start.
Okay. There'll be a brief period, I believe, where they'll be shut down, to make the transition from the old to the new. With construction and things like that. But for the most part, most travelers shouldn't notice any major hiccups with what's going on out there.
Right. So, all right. Well, when it's all done, we'll probably have some more pictures
completed. We can definitely bring some pictures back, for sure.
Be very good. Last thing that we wanted to talk about the agenda last night that happened was a presentation. Again, it comes back to Carl. check it off your list. Is the freight study was completed through your department. And tell us a little bit about that, Carl. What does that involve?
Well, the freight study is one of the many projects that the Metropolitan Planning Organization undertakes, or the MPO. And it's the MPO's job to lay the groundwork for projects that are actually get implemented on the ground. And it's a part of the umbrella of transportation-related studies that it's our responsibility to complete. And it's just another tool along with the transit and road projects, freight, pedestrian, bikeways. I mean, it's all related to transportation, and it's one of the components that we have undertaken. And so it'll be part of our tool chest, as I say.
Yeah, so it'll be used as the MPO or planning in general moves forward with road projects or new development areas. They have this data now to refer to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I believe since Mandan had kind of a unique commission schedule, I believe they held a meeting last night as well.
Correct.
And Joey from the MPO, from Carl's office, was in two places at once, so to speak. He started in Mandan and then ended in Bismarck. So this was on the tail end of our agenda, but that was to accommodate Joey's transition between Mandan and Bismarck. So the same request was made of Mandan City Commission last night as it was with Bismarck, as it typically is with any case with the Metropolitan Planning Organization, since it's a multi-jurisdictional organization.
Mm-hmm. And the study was accepted over in Mandan as well as
I believe so. Favorable outcome on both sides.
Joey had a long day.
Yep. He did. A little bit of a commute. And just to mention, our schedule with City Current has been all off too through December, and it will be in January as well. We usually are every week, either Bismarck or Mandan, and we've joined together in December program. Yep. And
I think both of Mandan's meetings are off because of New Year's Day and then Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Oh, those are Monday holidays, so that throws off their schedule. So
our next City Current will be with Mandan in 2 weeks, and then we'll be back in February into
February,
some sort of regular
February
schedule.
February should be fairly normal.
It's been a little bit of a break for us.
Yeah.
We welcome breaks periodically, but we fall out of our rhythm, and that can be dangerous as well. So anyway, that kind of takes care of the agenda from last night. So we wanted to, Carl's here, and we're going to put him in the hot seat a little bit and
now
share
some
stories.
Can we roast him now?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Is this when we roast him?
Yeah, it's been too easy so far.
1978 was the year you started with the city of Bismarck, 41 years ago.
Believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's after I spent a year and a half in Mandan, actually.
Oh.
Out of college, and kind of learned the craft a little bit over there. And then I was fortunate enough that this job opened up and applied for it, and the rest is history.
There you go. And you've seen lots of changes along the way.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, where do I start?
Yeah.
Just, we can talk about everything's bigger, everything's busier. Everything is more, there's more traffic. City was about 43,000 people when I started, and we're about 73,000 now, so it's 30,000 more people, so that's a big change. Population, of course, is more diverse now.
Major
changes.
I'm amused by the technology. When you mentioned, you gave me a little sheet of all the changes and whatnot, and mentioned the technology, and you think about that from 1978 till now, especially in this area where now you depend on
computer cartography,
the maps and the drone photography and everything is done electronically. I can't imagine back in 1978 you're drawing literally on
color pencils
boards.
And markers. And
I've done a little bit of everything, and one of my jobs in Mandan was to actually draft maps, and so I sat at a drafting table with an ink pen and hand lettered all this stuff. So I kind of started at that point and moved my way up. But everything was paper based.
Yeah.
When I started, we actually wrote letters and we had all face to face meetings. Mm-hmm. There was no such thing as Skyping meetings,
conference calls,
typewriters.
Things are much more transparent now. As you know, the meetings are televised, mm-hmm. and they were not before.
Stored online to watch at any time.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's that guy?
We have a picture up of an article from the Bismarck Tribune, I'm assuming.
There you go.
Shows Bill Woken, our former city administrator, mm-hmm. and Carl Hockenstad. Now, in this picture, was Bill Woken in the planning department?
Yes. He was the director.
He was the director, and you were the new guy.
I was hired as the planning technician and moved up to assistant director later on, but that's one of the props we always used was a really nice model of downtown, and we had a couple of those, and I think many of my pictures, I'm like looking at this model and pointing to it, or or maybe the zoning map was in the background, but that was kind of our prop. But
Do you still have that model up in the department?
No, unfortunately not. I've been asked about that, and we moved the office several times, and I think at one point it just kind of got thrown away, very short-sighted. I wish we'd still have
but
that.
It does demonstrate what we've been talking about as far as technology, really needed these models, these three-dimensional models.
It was a resource.
Absolutely.
Yep.
To
yep.
move around and really get a feel for it.
And,
there's another one. Ooh. Has returned to his post as Bismarck's planning director. His first tenure with the city began in 1978. Wow.
Did you furnish these embarrassing models?
I think someone in your office might have helped procure these. So I want to say thanks to Kim.
Should have destroyed those. But
and you've moved a couple times within the city county building. Where was this office?
That was in our current office space, but prior to some remodeling. We started out in the Delzer building, which was down on Front and
Second Street. Yep.
And it was remodeled into a bank now, I believe. Mm-hmm.
And a barbershop and a dental office.
There's a few things in there. Yeah, yep. Right on the corner there. That was our first office. And then we moved to the Ritterbusch building on 7th, which now is part of Sanford's operation.
Mm-hmm. Is it the dialysis center?
Yes.
That area?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And which was better for us because we were across the street from the old city hall.
Which was on 6th and Thayer.
Which is now
a parking ramp.
Part of Sanford, formerly the Q&R Clinic. Mm-hmm. So
I'm having a hard time keeping up.
Yeah. And then we finally got to move into a city hall when the city acquired the old Q&R building, which we are there presently.
Yep.
So.
Yes, fully renovated.
I think the other thing I noticed from your notes, a consistent element in whether it's, the history, the changes, the successes, was the downtown area. And it is the heart of the city, so it's not unusual that would certainly be a focus of planning for a long time.
Absolutely.
But when you started in 1978, our downtown was in the similar situation that across the country, that the anchors had left, shopping malls were
the trend.
Yep. And suburbia was taking over, and we had that even here in Bismarck, which is kind of unusual because our major shopping center was just a few blocks away from the downtown area.
Yeah.
But the hit was hard.
It was. We were 78, we were still feeling the after effects of Kirkwood Mall being built. Because all the department stores used to be downtown.
Absolutely.
Sears and Montgomery Ward's, JCPenney, they were all here. It was an unbelievably busy place when I was a kid coming downtown on a Saturday, because that's where you ate, that's where you shopped, you did everything. But in 78, it was pretty quiet, pretty dark after 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
and nobody was living downtown.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the things that Bismarck did that, again, a lot of other communities were doing was incorporating this pedestrian mall concept into their downtown area, which is what Bismarck did as well.
Yep.
Now, was Chancellor Square in when you started?
Yes.
Was it there already?
That was, I think they had the dedication of Chancellor Square in 1974.
Okay.
And so it was only 4 years old when I started. And actually, Kirkwood Mall was only 8 years old because that opened in 70, I believe.
Okay. Mm.
So everything was pretty fresh, but nationally, all of the downtowns were being impacted by the suburbanization and the shopping mall, you know, being built. So there was a lot of federal money in the early 70s to start the urban renewal programs. And we were a part of that. And some historic structures, unfortunately, were were torn down, but it was an attempt to revitalize downtown, to build some new buildings to freshen up the areas. And Chancellor Square was part of that to help us compete with the shopping malls.
Well, and some parts of those plans worked. Some weren't so successful. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, again, across the country, some of those pedestrian mall-type operations ripped out and
Even here with our, just last year, we converted the one-ways in Chancellor Square back to two-way with Broadway and Thayer and 4th and 6th. That was one of the last most significant pieces of the Chancellor Square area. Of course, we still have the plantings and the benches and some of those design elements, but the flow of traffic back to two-way streets, I think, is it's a nice change. I mean, it had a time and place in our history, and we did it, and we understood it, and now we've moved on, and I think downtown traffic's a little easier for some. I still see people using the one-ways the way they used to be, but that's fine.
And it would be very expensive to retrofit all of downtown, but it may happen at some point. The trend now is, of course, to go back to the traditional downtown with the sidewalks, the two-way traffic.
Wide sidewalks,
and
narrow
Bismarck,
streets.
Bismarck, again, is following that trend that we're seeing around the country, that people, again, the suburbanization of the country and shopping malls are static and people want to come back downtown, and it's just a national reaction, and we're following that trend as well.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. And there's been a few programs that have proved to be very successful, and one of them is the Renaissance Zone.
Yes.
So we've had a number of projects. Jason, you were involved with that committee when you were with planning.
Yeah,
right?
I was part of that for about 8 years. I was the city's Renaissance Zone program manager, so a lot of the stuff that happened between 2008 and 2016.
So you're there in the early parts of the Renaissance.
Yeah, Kim Lee, the current planning manager, one soon to be acting director of the department, really picked it up from the beginning and carried it the first few years and then handed it off to me. And now, of course, Daniel Naren has taken the torch, and he's doing a great job with it as well.
Yeah.
So, but
We really haven't explained your history with Carl. I think that maybe we should talk just a little bit about that, because you did start in planning. And
Carl was my first professional boss out of college. I interviewed to be a planner in March of 2006, and I started June 1st of 2006 as a planner under Carl's watch. So I need to thank you for helping me get started with the city, because if it weren't for that, who knows where I'd be. I wouldn't be here, that's for sure.
We definitely made the right choice.
Well, I appreciate that.
So. And your focus when you started too, Jason, was primarily in the downtown area.
Community planning. I believe my position was fairly new to the department. It was a response to some of the growth demands that the city had been seeing. And one of my passions is downtown and all the revitalization, all the emphasis that goes into the heart of the community. And I remember during my interview with Carl and a whole bunch of other staff from the department talking very passionately about downtown. And I think that's probably what helped me get over the line just a little bit, because I think they were looking for somebody to come in and help foster that growth. Because if you think back to 2006, there were a lot of things that weren't happening downtown that are here today. Mm-hmm. And back to your comment about the Renaissance Zone, that's a huge tool for us. It has been a tremendous impact and a dynamic success story for the city of Bismarck and other communities statewide.
That was triggered by the state legislation, wasn't
it? That's right. Back in 2000, the legislative session of 99, so I believe it came into effect in 2000. Yep. So,
Years are flying, right?
And I credit Mayor Sorensen at the time, and he's the one that really recognized that downtown property values were actually declining. and he really jump-started the idea that we should get into this Renaissance Zone program. And it took a couple of years to get it started, but it has really taken off and has been strong ever since.
And I think it's fair to mention that having a vibrant, healthy downtown that generates a tremendous tax base relieves the burden community-wide. If we were a neighborhood, or if we were a town of just residential areas, we would struggle. In order to have a strong foundation for an annual budget, you have to have a diverse mix of uses. It's not just residential. You got to have commercial uses, industrial uses. You've got to have healthy, vibrant properties that support the entire community, because if it was just homes, we'd struggle.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you guys travel. Where do you go when you go to a different city? It is really our front door.
Yeah, exactly.
And whatever, you know, that people are drawn now to those downtown areas.
It's the personal identification of any community.
You see major sports arenas being built right in the downtown area, and people filter around during those games or concerts or events. And
housing
they
is
feed
a huge
off of
part
all
of that.
The services that are available, or restaurants that are there. And it really is a condensed area for property tax collection and sales tax, and all those things are much is generated of these few square blocks.
And I think Bismarck is fortunate. You know, many cities, you see them develop, their downtowns are often along the riverfront.
Yeah.
In Bismarck, I mean, we really are in the center of the community when you talk about downtown. So it's easy access, it's in and out, and it's close to, as we talked about, the regional shopping center with Kirkwood Mall. We've got the Bismarck Event Center. We've got the hospitals.
Right in between. Right.
Yeah, there's just so
it's
many features.
It's a very
features.
Unique setup for the city of Bismarck, no doubt about
very
that.
Very fortunate.
Speaking of the hospitals, just a little side note. The city auditor and administration was very farsighted back when Bismarck Hospital at the time was going to move to where Grandview Heights is. In fact, it's called the Bismarck Hospital Edition. And the city got in gear and actually acquired the two blocks between the two hospitals, St. A's and Bismarck Hospital, and that's where the parking is now. And that was a incentive for them to stay downtown if we helped to provide parking for them. So very
very deliberate decision.
Visionary.
Very deliberate.
Yes.
Well, you've been a part of a lot of studies over the years. Every year you're probably involved in a few studies. We've talked about one that was on the agenda last night.
That's what we do.
Growth management plans, strategic planning, all of these things.
Downtown infill and redevelopment, parking studies.
Well, that's the downtown subarea study, which is probably the most successful plan I have ever seen. It was a game changer.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of it has actually been implemented. And unfortunately, some plans are done and they are on a shelf and they don't ever really get implemented. But this one truly was
a
big
that
success.
One,
that I think it was 2013 it was adopted.
Yep, 2013.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's still a live, vibrant document. I just saw Daniel carrying around the book the other day, and it still had all my tabs in it from when I had my hands on it. I mean, it's not anything that has gone to the wayside. It is still very much a part of the decision-making process and a guiding document for the city.
Yeah, amazing. It'll have to be updated at some point, but it's been a great document. And actually, I was hired in 1978 to produce a comprehensive plan, and that was why I was brought on.
Wow.
And it's another umbrella document, and it's just a lot of policies and goals, which I think are still being considered when we do other plans. So that's a big satisfaction of mine that I was able to do that for the city.
I think there's probably been many satisfactions, but I just wanted to ask you, what do you see as the biggest challenges in the past 41 years that you've had?
One of them would be, and it was a disappointment, was the 5 South project. And again, that came out of that subarea study and would have been a game changer. Worked very, very hard on that. So it just wasn't to be. We hope that it will be something like that will be resurrected in the future.
Well, as you said earlier, some of these ideas have to percolate a while.
Right.
And from that original plan, there may be things that still come back to us.
Definitely.
I would say extraterritorial jurisdiction, which we think has been a very valuable method of us to manage growth, but it's kind of a battle. We battle it at the legislature. We battle it locally. There just are strong feelings on both sides. So that has been a challenge, just to kind of keep what we have.
Who has jurisdiction
exactly
over those two miles now.
So that's been a battle. Renaissance Zone Program Extension, which Jason was heavily involved with a couple of years ago.
2017, June and July of 2017.
We had to extend the program because it has a life to it, so we extended it for another 5 years, but that was about a year-long battle to get that done. I'm very happy that it was, but that was definitely a challenge, you know. And then just a small, seems like a small thing, but portable storage containers.
What?
Which that was were, right when I got
they
started.
They were proliferating around the city. We got a lot of complaints.
Portables.
And I mentioned that
little
because
roll-off storage containers.
The metal storage containers were popping up all over, and it really was kind of an inexpensive way for businesses to store things
but
without
they can
adding
be
onto their buildings.
Eyesore, and they could, I would assume, be an irritant for neighboring properties.
They take up parking spaces. Sure. They get placed in areas where it could cause traffic impacts. You know, it clearly is a convenience and a service for the business owners, but without some regulation or bookends around it had a tendency to kind of get legs that
and they're fine
took it in a different direction.
In the city, but they were, you would see them everywhere, and I mentioned that because it was a 9-year project.
Wow.
So you have to be patient in this business, but we did get some guidelines on the books, so we think things are better.
I've already gotten the 5-minute warning, so we don't have a whole lot of time. Carl, what is there something you want to mention before we say goodbye here on City Current?
Well, I just wanted to mention briefly a couple of my biggest, I guess, satisfactions of things that were done over the years. I've been very big on city beautification, and I think the landscape ordinance that we have and has been updated many, many times, and I believe you were
involved
in that as well.
I was part of that many times as well.
And I was on the forestry board.
Share their credit with both of you, but that was a big deal, and it took many, many years and a lot of resistance, but I think it has made a difference.
Absolutely. You look at the growth, the new areas of our community, you look at the parking lots, it's not just a big area of asphalt. Mm-hmm. There's trees and shrubbery and greenery and very specific reasons, not just for the aesthetics, but also for stormwater and just to break up some of that. So I would agree that that's a tremendous
high
quickly,
five. Neighborhood parks ordinance. And I think that will make a difference.
Absolutely.
In years to come. And it's become an expectation of residents. And they say, hey, where's the park? Mm-hmm. And I think we've made a difference.
I think we owe that in part to not only Commissioner Askvig and his efforts to help that ordinance come through, but also dating back to the city's 2012 strategic plan. I got to put a plug in because we're updating our strategic plan. That was a loud part of that study from the community that said we would like more parks and open space. So again, it gives the commissioners the encouragement they need to make some moves to help the community get better. It gives the staff direction on how to move forward, and Carl's office put it on the books, and here we are. And I think it's going to make a very positive, lasting impact as we continue to grow in our residential areas.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been my honor. It's been a great 41 years. I wouldn't trade it.
Will it be hard to walk away?
It will be. It will be. I'll miss a lot of it. People that I work with. But I recognize it is time to move on and let somebody else have this opportunity. But can you imagine a hometown boy gets a chance to do this for their city? It's just been wonderful.
Well, you should be really proud because you've done, and you're one of those people that do have been leading this community very quietly in the background for a long time, and what you've done will impact this city for forever.
Generations,
really.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. And
thank you.
And we will miss you.
Thank you. And I have to credit people I've hired over the years, and they've done a great job. So all the credit to the staff that I've had.
And thanks for making time to come in and have a little chat with us.
I think we also need to mention that internally, Carl is our historian. I go to Carl with history questions. I've got old pictures. Carl grew up here. He knows this town better than most people I know probably better than anybody. So I'm going to miss that. So I'm trying to pick that up.
Guess who the junior astronomy is? And I'm giving him lots of stuff, so I expect him to carry that.
I have a small museum of artifacts in my office that I've gathered.
Carl artifacts.
We'll make sure that we carry that torch.
His office is a museum, by the way.
Well, I have a feeling you'll continue to be a resource.
I hope so.
And he's going to stay here, so we know if we ever have to, we can ask Carl some questions. I've got his cell number, right. So
better change that number.
Sounds good. Again, thanks for coming in, Carl.
So
best
much.
Of luck as you move forward with grandkids and volunteering in the community years to come.
I'll still be yours.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason,
you
too,
bet.
For
thanks,
joining
Mary.
Us. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.